Well, I want to talk with you today about the importance of rest. Now, I am reminded of man's great need for rest every time I preach. Sometime I'm going to sneak a little camera in here in my hand, and I'm going to tape you while I am preaching. And then the next week, I'm going to come back and I'm going to play that for you so that you can enjoy what I get to enjoy. It's kind of interesting sometimes, honestly, looking from the pulpit, how some people try to not act like they're sleeping when they are. It's quite ingenious, the things that people will do in that experience. But I've gotten used to it. Fact is, we are a tired people. And if I hear one thing from people more than anything else, it is, I am so tired. And you won't believe what I'm about to say, but the fact is, we are one of the civilizations in the world with more recreation time than any other. We really do have more time to do something besides just try to survive than most of the peoples of the world. So that's not the reason why we are so tired. I don't think the real problem is a lack of rest. I think the real problem is the presence of restlessness. That's why we try drugs, and we try meditation, and we try counseling, sometimes even hospitalization. We tire ourselves in our quest to ease our restlessness. And I would suggest to you that the reason most of those attempts fail is because restlessness is primarily a spiritual problem. As Doran read at the beginning of the service, the psalmist writes, "My soul finds rest in God alone." So let that sink in. Our culture is restless because our culture is godless. Scripture teaches that rest is not just a human need, it is a divine gift. Rest has been a part of God's plan for us from the very beginning, because God knows that rest is best. And I want to show you that. In the second chapter of Genesis, we're going to look at three verses only this morning, but they are a very important section of Scripture. Genesis 2, beginning in the first verse, we read these words, "Thus the heavens and the earth were completed in all their vast array. By the seventh day, God had finished the work he had been doing. So on the seventh day, he rested from all his work. And God blessed the seventh day and made it holy, because on it he rested from all the work of creating that he had done." I want to share with you today four very important things about the seventh day, because I believe they are as relevant to us as they were to the very first people that read the book of Genesis. Four things, beginning with this: the seventh day came after all creating was completed. In other words, God had provided everything man needed in the first 6 days. And when you come to the seventh day, creation is complete. So creation is not in process. In regard to the evolutionist view, we would contend that creation is done. It is finished. Creation is not in process. God has created what he planned to create. The creator rested from his creation. Now, that is not to imply that God is indifferent to his creation. When I say rest, I don't mean that he sat back in an easy chair, pulled it back, and just started to take it easy. All through the Bible, God is the subject of verbs of action. In fact, look with me at John chapter 5, verse 17. Jesus, in that section, has just healed a lame man. And he told him in that section, "Take up your mat and walk." Well, the Jews became very angry that he did this. And in verse 16, they asked Jesus, why did you tell this man to carry his mat on the Sabbath? And look at Jesus' response in verse 17. Jesus said to them, my Father is always at his work to this very day, and I too am working. The Bible does not say that God stopped working. The Bible says that God stopped his work of creating. God rested from his creative work, but he continues to nurture and to sustain what he created by his power. If God stopped working, the sun would not have risen today. If God stopped working, you would not have woke up this day. So God continues to sustain what it is that he has created. But the seventh day came after all the creating was completed. But also, the seventh day, here it goes, was for the purpose of rest. What does that mean? What is meant by the idea that God rested? Why does God need to rest? We know in Scripture that God in the flesh needed to rest. Jesus was like us. He got hungry. He got thirsty. And so we can read in the Gospels that sometimes Jesus got weary. So we know that God in the flesh needed to rest. But why does God as spirit need to rest? Because God the Spirit never tires. God the Spirit never sleeps. He never needs to restore his strength. The main idea is not that God rested because he was tired, but God rested because he was through. That's what it means. The enjoyment of accomplishment is the thought. Do you know what it's like when you get a big project or say a big term paper finished? You remember how good that feels? That's the same idea. God rested from his creative work. He was through with it. But there's something else that's going on that is really important. I think God is also intentionally setting an example to establish an important principle that he wanted to communicate to man. The principle is the rest principle. Let me get into that by sharing something that I had read. A little dog in Tacoma, Washington, named Tattoo, was not planning on going out for an evening run, but his options were limited when his owner got into the car and accidentally caught Tattoo's leash in the car door as he shut it. So he took off down the street, and poor little Tattoo had to pick him up and put him down as fast as he could go. Now, fortunately, they hadn't gone very far before they went right past a patrol car, and the policeman saw this whole dilemma. So the policeman sped up, he pulled the car over, but at that point they were going at about 25 miles an hour. And little Tattoo was doing his best, he even rolled over a few times. But they were able to stop the car, and fortunately the dog just had some scrapes and bruises, but was otherwise okay. Although it was said that Tattoo did not want to go for an evening walk for a very long time. How many of you feel like that little dog? How many of you feel like you're just putting them up and you're putting them down as fast as you can go, and you just wish that somebody would come in and pull you over and make you stop? See, God did not want you to live that way. From the very beginning, God set you an example from his own character and behavior that he doesn't want you to live like that. So when Moses met God up on top of a mountain in Exodus chapter 20, God said, "Remember the Sabbath day by keeping it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but on the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. On it you shall not do any work, neither you, nor your son or daughter, nor your manservant or maidservant, nor your animals, nor the alien within your gates, For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, the sea, and all that is in them. But he rested on the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and made it holy. So what Moses is saying is that the Sabbath principle, the rest principle, goes all the way back to creation and the example that God set for us. God ordained for us a pattern of living that included rest. In fact, that's what Sabbath means. Sabbath does not mean Saturday. Sabbath does not mean seventh day. Sabbath in the Hebrew means cessation or rest. And the idea is this, that it is wrong to let work become your God. It is wrong to let work demand the ultimate commitment from you. God ordained that we set apart some time to assert that life does not depend on my feverish activity, but it depends on Him. That is one reason why getting together with Christians on Sunday is so critically important, because we need time to assert to a godless world that it is not going around as fast as you can in a feverish pitch that makes life good or worth living. It is God. Ted Malone was a well-known morning radio disc jockey. He died back in 1989, and he got a letter one time from a sheep rancher in Idaho, and the letter said, "Could you please play the note A on the air?" He said, "I'm out here all by myself, and it's a long way from a piano, and the only thing that gives me any joy is playing my violin, but it's out of tune. So would you please play an A so I can get my violin in tune?" So he read the letter. He played the note A. And then he got a letter back. And the letter said, "Thanks, I'm in tune now." Now I want to suggest to you that God knew us. And he knew that we would get out of tune if we didn't have some regular time to stop and remember God. So that's what the seventh day was supposed to teach us. We need regular and constant time to get our hearts back in tune. That's why Sabbath keeping ought to be such a priority for the people of God. I don't mean honoring the seventh day of the week. I mean honoring the principle that we set apart regular, consistent time to rest and reflect and get back in touch with God. Jesus did that. One of the great misconceptions about Jesus is that Jesus was anti-Sabbath, because the Pharisees always accused him of being anti-Sabbath because he broke their traditions for the Sabbath. But hear me closely, Jesus loved Sabbath. He kept Sabbath perfectly. In fact, the Bible says that he would go to the synagogue every Sabbath, as was his custom, because Jesus understood the priority God had for this rest principle. You see, this is not just for the Jews. That's another mistake that people make, that the rest idea was just for the Jews, and we're not under the Old Testament anymore. We're not Jews. We're in the New Testament, so it's not for us anymore. Look with me in your Bibles at Exodus chapter 16. The children of Israel, they've just come out of Egypt and they need food. So God sends them manna, and God says to them, "I only want you to pick it up in the first 6 days, but on the seventh day, don't get any." Well, they didn't listen to God. They disobeyed God. On the seventh day, they went out to try to get the manna, and God became very upset at this. And look at what God says in verse 28 of Exodus 16. Then the Lord said to Moses, "How long will you refuse to keep my commands and my instructions?" Bear in mind that the Lord has given you the Sabbath. That's a very interesting verse. I want you to see several things about that. First, I want you to notice this, that Sabbath existed before they received the Ten Commandments. Before they ever got the Ten Commandments, the Sabbath existed. In fact, how long in Exodus 16 implies they had known about the Sabbath for a long time. And God was frustrated at their continuing disobedience on Sabbath. And second thing I want you to notice. Notice this. There it is. Sabbath was a gift from God. The Bible does not say the Lord forced on you the Sabbath. The Bible doesn't say God compelled you to keep Sabbath. The Bible says God gave you Sabbath. He gave it to you. It was a gift. That's what Jesus said. Jesus did not say the Sabbath was for the Jews. Jesus said that the Sabbath was a gift from God for man. Look at Mark 2:27. The Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath. The fact that Sabbath has its roots in creation suggests that this is not an optional choice for us. This is a universal need. We need Sabbath. We need the rest God ordained for us. I always enjoyed the story of the woman who's trying to get a hold of her preacher on a Monday. And she calls him and there's no answer. She calls back a little later. There's no answer. She tries and tries and tries. So she finally gets a hold of him on a Tuesday and she's very upset. And she says, "I tried all day to get a hold of you yesterday." He says, "Well, Monday's my day off." She said with kind of a holier-than-thou attitude, "The devil doesn't take any time off." And he said, "Well, yeah, and I'd be just like him if I didn't." The Bible says in Isaiah chapter 30, this is what the Sovereign Lord, the Holy One of Israel, says, "Only in returning to me and resting in me will you be saved. In quietness and confidence is your strength." The seventh day was for rest and to teach us an important principle. See, the seventh day was blessed. In fact, it was the only day of the first 7 days that God blessed. God conferred particular favor on the seventh day. It was as though God was saying, "Creating is good, but rest is best." And the very fact that God consecrated this day, or he made it holy, emphasizes how important God thinks the rest principle is. That is one of the reasons that Jesus so frequently criticized the Pharisees, because an incredible irony came about. I mean, that is, the day that God meant to be a gift and a blessing above all of the 7 days was the day that they turned into the biggest burden. By the time that you were through with Sabbath, they had so many rules and regulations that you had to keep. You woke up every day worried and stressed if you're going to be able to keep it all. And Jesus said that was never what God meant. This is supposed to be a day of blessing. You see, Sabbath keeping marks the people of God as a community of people that believe God's grace, not man's labor, is what secures our future. Let me say that again, because that is very important. Why was God upset that Israel would not keep the Sabbath? Their neighbors did not keep the Sabbath. Their neighbors said, "That's crazy. I mean, if we're going to survive, and if we're going to have our crops grow, and if our herds are going to prosper, then we've got to work and work and work 7 days a week, all month long, all year long." And God says, I want to show you something. Go after that seventh day and just rest. That will be a sign to the nations that you thrive because of me, not because of your own labor. And God still wants to give that message out, by the way. When we keep Sabbath, when we say to the world, "Work is not my God," what we're saying is, "My future is secure because of the blessing of God, not because of my labor." And God wants the world to still get that message. By the way, another thing to remember about Sabbath. Sabbath was not this idea. "Okay, God, you want one day? I get 6 days. That's not it. Sabbath was to remember the whole week was God's. Sabbath was to remind us to give every day to God. That's why it was blessed. And the last thing I want you to catch about the Sabbath, the seventh day has never ended. I don't know if you knew that. I believe God's rest has always been available to claim. But what do I mean that the Sabbath day has never ended? Notice very closely what we read a moment ago. Remember how in the first 6 days of creation it was stated this way. And there was morning and there was evening the first day. And there was morning and there was evening the second day. And it does that for the first 6 days. But it does not do that on day seven. It never says day seven ended. In fact, that was the point of John chapter 5, verse 17. They were mad that Jesus told this man to take up his mat and walk, do some work on the Sabbath. And Jesus said, my Father is working. The point was that God was working on the seventh day so he can minister to people on the Sabbath because his Father does. We are implored in Scripture to seek the rest that God now enjoys. Because nowhere in the Bible does it say that God has completed his rest. God was saying on the seventh day, this is the destiny of my people. To rest as I rest, to rest in me. And God's promise of rest is open to all. Just read the first 11 verses of the fourth chapter of the book of Hebrews. The promised land under Joshua's leadership is referenced in that section. And the children of Israel associated the promised land with rest. So the Hebrew writer was making it very clear that receiving the promised rest of God involves a lot more than simply crossing over a river. God would not still be warning people if that promise of rest is over now. See, the rest that God offered them, the children of Israel, has not been used up. It is still being offered. You can still enter the land and get rest. And we know in an ultimate sense that we can enter the rest of God when we cross the river and enter into the better country that Abraham was looking for. Someday we're going to cross the river and someday we're going to go to the home prepared for us. And Scripture is clear that when that day comes, we will enter into the rest of God. John writes in Revelation 14, then I heard a voice from heaven say, write, blessed are the dead who die in the Lord from now on. Yes, says the Spirit, they will rest from their labor, for their deeds will follow them. So there is a sense in which our ultimate rest waits for us when we go to heaven to be with our Father forever. But I also believe there is a sense in which we can enjoy God's rest right now. How's that? Doesn't mean that we can have a life of inactivity or a life without any sorrows or struggles. But it does mean that we can enter life without any anxiety that cripples us. Without misery and guilt and the pain of hopelessness. Let me ask you something, and I really want you to consider this. Do you think that you are giving to your neighbors or to your coworkers in your office, do you think that you're giving credibility to the promise of God's rest by the stress-free life you are living? Can a non-Christian look at your life today and know that there is rest available that he doesn't have because it is so very clear by your stress-free life that you've entered into something that he needs? The church father Augustine said, thou hast made us for thyself, and our hearts are restless until they find their rest in thee. And you might be thinking, I don't have that kind of rest. I'm a Christian. I'm saved. I believe that, but I don't have that kind of rest. I don't believe that peace and contentment would be what I would sum up my life as. The Bible says that you need to enter into that rest. Don't be like the unbelieving and the disobedient who came right up to the edge of the rest of God but didn't have the faith to take it. You need to claim and take the rest of God. It was ordained from the beginning of creation that you should have rest as a part of your life on this planet. And we're going so fast that we're shooting ourselves down. You know what is really hard? Not being near Jesus. That's why it is important to have Sabbath. That's why I went on a retreat to Michigan this past August with my wife. That's why we're going to go back next August. You need to do the same thing every week. You need to stop on Sunday. Most of us, we need to stop every day. We have to take some time where we just stop and we check and we see if we've been drifting away from Christ. Let me tell you a sure sign that you are drifting away from Christ is that you have noticed lately an increase in your stress and in your anxiety and in your restlessness. You see, if you want rest, you have to walk with Jesus. Ask him to speak to you. Learn from him. Maybe it's time for some of us to get back in step with the one that loved us to death. So I'm going to ask you to draw near to Jesus with me. Why don't we stand up and we close this out by praying together.